Let's open the scriptures and turn again to Acts chapter 16. And the scripture portion for this afternoon is Acts 16 from verse 19 through 34. And when her master saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace and to the rulers, and brought them to the magistrates, saying, "These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans." And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." And he spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his, straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them, and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. We listened last week to the gospel spread, the gospel blessed, and this morning to the gospel attacked. Wish to listen now and for a moment to the gospel believed by the jailer. And our text is then verses 30 and 31. And he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." We listen to the gospel attacked by Satan, and in spite of his power, God's work goes on. He continues, "For unto him is given all might and power in heaven and on earth." Satan began to hinder the work, that's what we heard, and he did it by using, for instance, Orthodox Jews, or just unbelievers, foolish Gentiles, or by that woman shouting after them when they went to the place of worship. But the Lord Jesus Christ delivered that poor woman, as we have heard this morning, and he proved to be the Almighty One. He goes on as well. And may he do so also today, and also in this house, and that your prayer may be, "Lord, bless at once, but also me. Satan doesn't give up. He always continues in his attempts to destroy the church and the work of God. And Christ is protecting the church and even extending the kingdom of God through his word and spirit. Yeah, that young lady delivered from Satan's power and slavery, her owners had no concern for her. They were only interested in the income she provided. And now that income was gone. Their hope was the Roman law. They thought that they had a good case because those strange people, those missionaries, were Jewish and as such propagating a religion not approved by Rome. And so were the magistrates, the leaders of that city, moved by religious motives and acted rashly and did not investigate the matter fully. And Paul and his friend Silas were stripped and beaten and whipped and put in the city prison. It looked like the end of their labors in Philippi. And that is actually Satan's goal, where he aims at to remove the servants of the Lord, to remove the word that they are proclaiming, so that people will return to their own chosen ways and lives again, and are not concerned anymore through the preaching about their eternal future. That is Satan's goal. But it is the Lord Jesus who speaks also in this chapter, the last word. And they came in prison, and I understood that your own minister preached on that situation in prison, that they were praying and praising the Lord in that dark night. So that was just 2 weeks ago, I believe. We do not preach on that topic then, and go further and see that the Lord Jesus Christ is there too in prison in that night. He went to heaven, but he stayed also here on earth. That's what we see in Acts 16. And our two friends, Paul and Silas, instead of, complaining or calling on God to judge their enemies, they prayed and also praised God. That was a proof of Jesus' nearness. And I read Spurgeon says, any fool can sing in the day. It is easy to sing when we can read the notes by daylight. But, he continues, the skillful singer is he who can sing when there is not a ray of light to read by. Songs in the night come from God, from him alone. They are not in the power of man. No, a song in the night. That does mean that they had a strong faith, but faith is a gift. So the Lord provided, and he gave them a strong faith. And so he will be also the same in our nights and dark circumstances and in the trials of life. And we read, and it's the last thing that I say about this thing, for you heard already a sermon on it, that the prisoners were listening to them, but God in heaven also. He heard them singing. And where faith is, there the Lord will reward that faith. Yeah. With unbelief we will punish ourselves and bring ourselves into darkness. But faith will be rewarded by the Lord, and He will come down and help. And He responded by shaking the foundations of the prison, opening all the doors, and loosening the prisoners' bonds. Unbelievable, but it happened. They could have fled, the prisoners, of course, in freedom. But instead, they remained right where they were. That is another miracle. Great miracles in one night. They did not flee, but they stayed. God was keeping everything in control, and everything was according to His will. He was writing also that night the history. And the prisoners must have realized that there was something very, you know, special about those two Jewish preachers. And that was what the jailer felt as well later on. He felt also there is something going on here. He did not know what. No. Later on here, he realized it. And he has told everyone, God was coming in my life. The Lord was visiting me in that night. I did not pray for Him. I did not even know Him. But He came to me. I did not realize. I did not know Him at all. But God the Almighty appeared to my eternal joy. Unbelievable. They have felt it. God's presence was there. And Paul, one of the children of God and His servants, they get never used to miracles. They do never say, well, that is the Lord, of course, and He opens the doors. They also are very amazed, astonished because of God's power. A miracle is and remains always a miracle, not to explain, not to understand. It was also quite something for them, for Paul and Silas, an answer from above. The Lord answered their prayers. But in that night, Paul realized that the Lord gave him a new task, a new work field, in that night, there in Philippi's prison. A new congregation of prisoners, a congregation of criminals. And Paul's attention was fixed in the first place on the jailer himself. The man he really, how do I know? I know the heart of a servant of God a little bit. He really wanted to win for to Christ. Yeah. For it was a Roman law that if a guard lost a prisoner, he was given the same punishment the prisoner would have received. So, there must have been some man in the prison who had committed capital crimes. The jailer would rather commit suicide than face shame and execution. a hard-hearted person seeking vengeance would have let the cruel jailer kill himself, but Paul felt pity for him. And he saw a lost soul. And when you have seen the precious value of your own soul, you see around you, yeah, just men and women, boys and girls, souls, lost souls, that's what you see. For Paul and Silas, they saw there a lost person, a person in great distress and need. And they did not feel wrong, they did not have wrong feelings about him. Although he wasn't very kind to them, no, just the opposite. But they felt pity. And they saw just a lost soul. And he took his sword and would have killed himself. And then we read Paul saying, "Do not harm yourself." That is what Paul says. Do thyself no harm, for we are all here. That is what we call love. Do thyself no harm. He himself was beaten and whipped. And the jailer was not kind at all for them. Put their feet in a stock, was very painful. And he had no pity at all with these two men. But Paul had another spirit. The spirit of Christ. And therefore he did say, do yourself no harm. For what will be your future? What will happen when you will kill yourself? That man did not believe, and the man who does not believe in hell either. Neither. No, of course not. No. Hell does not exist, maybe heaven, but when he dies he will go, maybe, to heaven. But an everlasting darkness, no, he does not believe in that. Not at all. So, many people regard death as a, you know, way to escape from misery and all things here in this world. Sickness or the old day with all the things that happen your all day, death is a way to escape from it. That's what many believe. But Paul believed in God, and who believes in God knows that there is also an everlasting darkness and an unquenchable fire. And that was the reason that Paul said, do thyself no harm. Look just around and see there isn't any prisoner who fled. We are all here. The jailer could not believe his own eyes and ears, and he called for a light, and he saw that Paul was right. Nobody escaped. That was a real miracle. So he experienced there was something special going on. Paul and that other man, they were both alive. And the other ones, they did not flee. And they were even warning him, do yourself no harm. He experienced sympathy and love. He did not know what happened. But he felt there is something going on here. He felt the almighty hand of God. Didn't they say about these two men that they were servants of the Almighty? Like that soothing woman said. That they were servants of the Almighty. And here he felt the presence of an almighty God. And in that light he felt a great need. For he knew and he realized, I cannot stand, I cannot exist, for I am unholy. He felt only his needs. Well, when the Lord spoke through Paul to Lydia, the Lord opened her heart. She was just sitting down and listening. And in the meantime, that great miracle happened inwardly. The Lord opened her heart. She received other ears and eyes. They heard and saw things never seen or heard before. And here, it happens in a different way. The conversion of the jailer is not like the conversion of Lydia. But it is again the same Lord who works in that night. The same Lord. And therefore we can say it is the same God who works, and therefore we learn, after all, everyone learns the same things. And the jailer, he has felt at that moment that he was in a great danger. Who can live in the nearness of an almighty God? Didn't he live as a man without God? And that's why he says with a loud voice, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? He saw his lost and undone state. The situation where he was in was a terrible one. He was just lost. And that is a very important thing, that the Lord works in our hearts when he applies his word in your heart. That you see that you are in a great need. That you are a miserable sinner. That you have sinned against God. That's what the Holy Spirit does. What no man can do, he does. He convicts of sin. And he shows us the situation where we are in. He sees all of a sudden that he is a poor and miserable and lost man. What does he know about Adam and his fall? Nothing. What does he know about the holy God who revealed himself to Israel? Nothing. What did he know about a Savior promised by the Lord? Nothing. What did he know about a God who forgives sin? Nothing. He knew only this, I am lost. That's what he knew. And that's what the Holy Spirit showed unto him. And the question for this afternoon is that you learn that too. Did the Lord open also your eyes for the reality that you are without God and without Christ in this world? That you have a soul which is lost. That you have just that you are guilty and cannot pay even a penny. Well, that's the work of the Holy Spirit. Read just what happened on the day of Pentecost. They were all believing and religious people. And through the work of the Holy Spirit, they turned into quite other people, lost people. What shall we do to be saved? And that is not only good to read that it is an element of the work of the Holy Spirit, but it is also good to know that this is the way that the Lord goes with everyone. Maybe you are a Lydia, or you went for a long time on a wicked way and did your own things and ignored God and His service, everyone will see his need and will also come with that need, will be convinced of the fact that he is just lost. And that's why this man comes and falls down before Paul and Silas and says, "What must I do to be saved?" Well, it is actually a confession of sin. Right? For he has nothing to offer them. He is just a lost person. It is a confession of sin. And again, he does not realize yet that he sinned against a holy God. He does not know anything about the Ten Commandments. But that's what he feels. He has sinned. He is on a wrong way. And how to escape from this misery? That's how the Lord works in the hearts of sinners. We do not just say, "Well, I'm a sinner, well, I can't help it. But it is terrible that I am a sinner. I cannot live with it. There must come a change in my life. It cannot stay the same in my life. Is there a way of escape? Is there a way to be delivered from this misery?" Comes a certain unrest in your heart. The Lord takes away all rest and you are seeking everywhere to find rest and help. Where to find that? That is a mark of the real element in the work of the Holy Spirit. You have no rest anymore. And that's what the jailer means, and that's what the 1,000 men on the day of Pentecost, there must be something done. Cannot stay the same. That is quite a miracle. When a person, whoever he may be, will admit that he is a lost sinner. And that is the time for Paul to preach unto him the gospel. Believe it or not, but that is the most nice and precious work, the work he likes and loves to do, of a servant of God to preach the gospel. When we were here in the 90s, having been your pastor for some years, I got a phone call and somebody said, "Pastor, I'd like to visit you and to speak to you, for I have something." "Well, okay," I said, "well, that day, that hour." And that lady came and visited me in my study. And I thought, well, maybe she has to go to the hospital for surgery, or maybe problems with her husband or children. Yeah, what, you can expect everything. And when she was in my study, she said, "Pastor, would you please proclaim unto me the gospel?" Well, I didn't expect that at all. A question like that, "Would you please proclaim unto me the gospel?" And that is actually your work, right? And, well, that was a nice hour. That was a very good hour together to proclaim the gospel. You are also, as a pastor, so often busy with many other things. But Paul, he received a precious task that night. What a question that gave him the opportunity to preach the gospel right away. Yeah, he didn't say, "Well, let's wait till tomorrow," or "I would like to be washed from my wounds and so first, and then we'll see." No. He, as it were, grasped the the opportunity and said right away to the jailer the things of God's holy word. He proclaimed the gospel. And therefore he said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. Did the jailer understand that? No, of course not. No. Tell an unbeliever, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. And he will shrug his shoulders and say, well, what are you talking about? I don't understand you. The jailer didn't understand that at all. No. And that's why Paul began to explain what he said. That's why we read, and they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house, all those prisoners as well. So that's why we said, well, he had a congregation of criminals before him, and he started to preach the gospel. You have, of course, to explain everything. And that's what Paul did that night. Oh, Paul, what a task laid upon your shoulders. And Silas, he as well. They preached unto the jailer and his family and all those who listened the gospel and proclaimed the truth. Can you do that in, let's say, 1 hour? You can say a lot in 1 hour. And you can also learn a lot in 1 hour even. Oh yes. Although this man, like that woman, became from that day a student at the school of the Holy Spirit. We have to learn all the days of our lives. But you can also learn a lot in just 1 hour. It depends on the Holy Spirit, and he needs just one word, and you will see the light. And that's why Paul began. Yeah, where do you begin when you proclaim the gospel? Well, with the first book of the Bible, Genesis. Yeah. That the Lord made us, and that we fell in sin. Is it not better to begin with the cross? Yeah, seems to be so, but it is not good to begin with the cross. You should preach the cross. Yes, of course. You should lead sinners to Christ. But are they sinners? And that's why Paul had to begin, and every servant, with Genesis, what we lost in paradise. The image of God. That we lost our holiness and our righteousness. And that we are now enemies of God. And that God took reasons out of himself to seek a lost and fallen sinner. And promised him to send him a savior. That's what Paul has told. In a few words, of course. But let's say in an hour that night. And that the Savior was the Son of God. And that he was most willing to go down to this earth to seek those who were lost. And that he offered himself to be a surety and to bear and carry their sins and to bear the punishment due to sin. That there was a Savior who said, Father, I will be thy servant to do thy will. For it was the will of God to redeem sinners and to make them his children. And the Lord Jesus said, well, I will come, Father. I will do that. Was that an easy task? No. It was actually an impossible task. But the love unto his father and the love unto lost sinners. Well, the first I understand, love unto the father, yes. But love for sinners I do not understand. That was in his heart and that's why he went. And he wrestled in the garden of Gethsemane as a worm and no man. For it was quite something to bear not only sin, but especially God's anger due to sin. He wrestled with it. It was actually an impossible task, for that was the punishment that he should descend even into hell. And that God, as a righteous judge, would leave him. And that was the gospel that Paul preached that night. That Christ came in a more miserable situation than the prisoners were in, and that he came in a more miserable situation than Paul and Silas were in that night, and that he had to descend into hell, and that he was left by his father. That has been for him the descendants into hell. The father left him. His mother was there too, Mary. She did not say any word. That's what a mother does, right? But she didn't say any word. But that was not the worst. Father did not say any word either. He left him. And he cried for his father. He was afraid, for hell is the most terrible place to be. And he was quite alone and left by his father. But that was the price that he had to pay. The jailer listened, and those criminals said, the family of the jailer listened, you too. Do you also listen to this precious gospel? And then he cried as a poor child in deep distress. Oh God, oh my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But the Lord did not answer. And then after 3 hours, the light went up and the Lord came back. And the Lord Jesus left that dark place. People who have to go to hell will never come back and will never leave hell anymore. Sometimes you can feel such a pity for people who went to hell. Don't you have that feeling sometimes? They never will get lost. No, they have to be there forever. And why can't they leave hell? Well, that's because they cannot pay. They have nothing to pay. They have just guilt. They have just sins. They cannot give Lord any holiness, righteousness, obedience. No, nothing. But Christ could leave hell. Because he could pay. He could pay. He was himself without sin. And that's why he could pay this for the sins of other ones. And that's why he came back. And that's why there is now, instead of hell, a heaven. Instead of darkness, the light of life. Even for the most undone sinner like you. Oh, man, listening to me. And you too, you prisoners, there is no hope for Christ's sake. Well, what can you learn in 1 hour? You have to learn a lot in life. Many things are unimportant, actually. But this, to learn this, that Christ is the one who paved the way and opened the gates to heaven. that is necessary to know. That it is Christ alone who made salvation possible, even for the chief of sinners. That is necessary to know. And the jailer believed. Yeah. How do we know? Well, he was baptized that night. That means that he made confession of his faith. He knew little, but this he knew. God made salvation possible in and through Christ, and that's what he embraced. Yeah, faith. What is faith? That you know everything. He just fled to Christ. He had nothing in himself that is faith. Coming with empty hands, just with filthy hands and hearts. You cannot offer God anything, confessing, Lord, I have no obedience, I have no holiness, I have no righteousness. Is that faith? Yeah, that is faith. That is the true faith. That you confess, Lord, I have nothing. Nothing in my hands I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. That is faith. And the Lord Jesus is so willing to teach sinners more than Paul was to teach the jailer and all the other ones the gospel. Christ rose from the dead. Why? Just to be a proclaimer of this gospel. He says, look unto me. What a servant cannot say, he can. He can say, look at me. It is in me life. And even just only actually for sinners. I did not die for good and people, but for bad, for sinful people. I went to the cross and I descended into hell to deliver sinners. And that's why the Holy Ghost makes me what I am, a sinner. That's why the Holy Ghost opens my eyes for the sins I committed, for the nature that I have, and that I'm inclined to all evil, just to bring me at the feet of Christ. What is that man doing actually? When he cast himself down the feet of Paul and Silas, he is praying for grace. He is praying for grace. And he is casting himself down at the feet of the Lord Jesus. And there has never been a sinner who was sent away empty when he came with his sins to the Lord Jesus. For when I learn to confess and to speak unto the Lord, Lord, here I am a sinner, the Lord will also speak to you. And that's what you need, isn't it? Isn't that your heart's desire? That the Lord will say a word to you, that he will speak to you, that the Lord Jesus will say unto you, my son, my daughter, your sins are forgiven. It doesn't help when everyone believes that I am a child of God. But when he tells me and reveals unto me his grace, when Christ tells me, I did it for you, that is life. That is life eternal. Well, that is the conversion of the jailer. A man who became a student at the school of the Holy Spirit. And was he the only one who was added to that church in Philippi? Well, maybe. But his family, they were also invited to come. And they were also baptized. The heart of God is full of kindness and hospitality. He brings people under the proclamation of his word, like he did in your and mind life, that faith may be born in our hearts and also may grow, that we have no righteousness but He for me. I have no obedience in myself. He obeyed God's law for me. That I have no holiness or whatever, but He gives it to me. And that's why it's a lesson for your life to learn, that we have to come with empty hands, but Christ has no empty hands at all. No. He is a giving Savior. Sinner. Sinner, hope in Him. And He will save you. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Take refuge to Him. Come as you are. You don't have faith? Come and pray. Give me faith. You have nothing? Come and say, Lord, give me everything that I need. That is faith. And He will be a Savior in your life. May the Lord, beloved congregation, bless His word for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let's now go to the Lord with thanksgiving. For Thee, Lord, Thou art so unspeakably good and kind, also for Thy servant who realizes that he is just weakness in himself, but Lord, the treasure, we are earthen vessels, it is true, but that treasure is so precious, the gospel. And even in our mother tongue we cannot find words enough to proclaim that gospel and to say what is living in our hearts, to give a description of Thy love, O Lord Jesus, Thy love, O God and Father, who send Thy Son, that sinners may be saved, that Thou hast taken reasons out of Thyself in Thy sovereign grace, and that all Thy name may be glorified and honored by sinners, by saved sinners, who will say, Lord, how great Thou art. Lord, we have said a few words about a great thing that happened there in Philippi, a great miracle. But will Thou bless the few words with Thy Holy Spirit, that also today sinners, boys and girls, men and women may come. What must I do to be saved? And the answer may resound in our hearts and may be embraced in a true and sincere faith, that the word of God may come unto us, that through faith in Christ souls will be saved. And Lord, we acknowledge Thy name, that Thou hast provided us this gospel, that it may be blessed in Thy undeserved favor. We acknowledge Thy name for the goodness given unto us. We pray for Thy blessing for the days to come. Some of us going on vacation, grant them good and blessed days of rest, and that they may relax and may return to their labors and also to our congregation in due time. Will Thou bless each and every one of us, O Lord? And we acknowledge Thy goodness, hear our prayers in the forgiveness of our sins, for Jesus' sake. Amen.